Auburn's the most overrated team in the playoff era? That can't be right, right?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Auburn and overrated doesn't seem to really go together, but we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the scrimmage today, what to look for. Let's clean it up. Let's clean up a few things. And then a position change that is interesting to say the least. But let's go ahead and jump into it. You know, I was having dinner with some friends last night, and he showed me a graphic that seemed legit from On3, and maybe a lot of you guys have seen this, and I feel like I saw it too in glancing, and it didn't really register what it was all about, but it was the most overrated teams in college football in the playoff era. And right atop the list was Auburn at number one. And, you know, first I think clickbait, rage bait, could it even be a troll? Because overrated in Auburn, especially as of late, would not seem to go in the same sentence. But I was like, you know what? That's going to be my show topic for tomorrow morning. So as I dive into it, I find out there's an article attached to it, because also it was from Brett McMurphy. And Brett McMurphy doesn't seem to be like one of those, I guess, headline-grabbing type guys where it's like, let me just throw something out there for rage bait and see if I can get some interaction on social media. He just doesn't come off as that type of guy. So I open the article that's attached to it, and it starts off, Auburn's the most overrated team in the playoff era. But what it really means, and I went back and did some numbers on it, what it's saying is Auburn is the team since 2014 that started the highest in the AP poll and dropped the lowest. So, in other words, the preseason ranking and the postseason ranking, Auburn is the team that has the biggest differential between starting point and end point. And there's not much you can argue with when you look at it that way. Now, maybe the word overrated is the wrong word, which we'll talk about in just a second. But you can't argue with the numbers. In 2014, Auburn started sixth. And remember, just coming off that 2013 season, finished 22nd. In 15, a lot of hype. Jeremy Johnson, Auburn's going to roll. Started off sixth, ended up unranked. 2018, coming off of that 2017 year, Jarrett Stidham's back. Started off ninth, ended up unranked. 2020, Bo's second year, a lot of returning players, started 11th, ended unranked. And, you know, those were some pretty catastrophic misses when you have three seasons inside the top 11 preseason, ranked inside the top 11, and then dropped completely unranked. I wonder, though, if it's like, I got to do a little bit more research on what happens after 2020, because Auburn is unranked, has been unranked in the preseason and postseason AP poll for, let's see, 6 straight years preseason, and then obviously 5 straight years. No, you got to go back to 2020, 6 straight years being unranked in the postseason or the end of the season AP poll. So that sort of solidifies the the idea of Auburn not being able to handle expectations. The thing is, I don't know that overrated is the right word. I think it may be overranked. Overranked seems to make more sense. If you say Auburn's the most overranked team, I think that people, there's less of a freak out. People are probably like, oh, you're probably right. Auburn probably was ranked higher. When you say overrated, to me, that means that Auburn is always like the media darling. Like they're always hyping them up like it's going to be the next big, they're going to be the next big dark horse, or they're going to be the team that's going to challenge, you know, the Alabamas and the Georgias back during that time. And maybe there was for that stretch, that little small stretch that we talked about from like 2014 to 2020. And Auburn did have some seasons in there. You know, you did have a couple of seasons, 2019, I think, that Auburn actually improved their preseason ranking to their postseason ranking. And then obviously in 2017, they were preseason ranked 12th and ended up 10th. But since then, as a matter of fact, I feel like when anybody starts to mention Auburn as potentially being a team that could, you know, pop or could turn things around, as a matter of fact, I feel like people start to scoff. And when I say people, I'm talking about the media. It's almost like it's gone so far the other way. And you know what? It could be that, look, bro, I've given you guys opportunity after opportunity. I've been on the train, and you let me down time and time again. It's going to have to be a show me. And as a matter of fact, there's probably a lot of fans that feel that way too. Unranked in the preseason for six straight years is a tough look. That's a tough look for a program that before that only had one season since 2014 where they were unranked, and every season they were inside the top 20 preseason ranking. Didn't always finish there, but it just shows you where this program can be versus where this program is currently. And Golish not only has a tough job of reviving, you know, a program that can compete at the highest level, but I think also winning back favor, winning back a lot of favor with fans, winning back a lot of favor with, you know, the pundits and the media that cast these votes. It's just there's a lot of scar tissue. I wonder if Auburn just piled up such a big lead, because I think it said LSU was getting close to overtaking Auburn. How does it work when it's unranked? Like, I know it says unranked, and that's typically meaning outside the top 25, but could they be preseason ranked at, if they actually calculate all the votes, tabulate all the votes, they could be preseason 45th and then drop beyond that? Like, it blows my mind that Auburn could still be at the top of this list, and they haven't been really even talked about in the rankings for the past 6 years. Regardless, I still think overranked is the right word, and that makes that a little bit easier to digest, and it makes a little bit more sense. Overrated seems to have negative connotations, maybe a little bit more reactionary connotations. You got Auburn 1, LSU, USC, Clemson, ooh, and Wisconsin kind of round out the top five right there. There's a lot of teams on here, though, that are, you know, Alabama's at 11th. And again, it's just simply your preseason AP poll versus your ending AP poll. So what do you think about that? What do you think about the terms overrated versus overranked? Is that just semantics? I think it actually means something. I think it's more accurate. Let me know what y'all think about that. We're going to talk scrimmage and position changes in just a second. But before we do that, we want to give a quick shout out to Prize Picks. It's a scorching sports summer, and you can make all your picks on Prize Picks. Women's basketball and baseball are heating up. Football preseason is here. College football is right around the corner. And with big tennis slams and big golf tournaments on the horizon, there's no better place for all your summer sports picks than Prize Picks, America's number one sports picks app. But for me, this time of the year means one thing. Auburn football is on the horizon. And as we get closer to kickoff, I've already got a few Auburn guys on more watch this season. Chaz Nimrod, Keyshawn Singleton, Jeremiah Coger have all been generating buzz. And those are three names I'll be watching when the player projections start rolling in. That's what makes Prize Picks so much fun. I can pick more or less on player stats, build my lineup, and have another reason to follow every snap. One lineup, one app, all the picks. And Prize Picks is now available in all 50 states, including Alabama, California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. Download the app today and use code CLNS to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. That's right. Just download the app, use the code CLNS. You get $150 instantly in lineups if you hit your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, America's number one sports pick app. Also want to give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Be who you say you are. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. For Auburn business owners, it's only a dollar. It's less than a dollar a day to list your business. Just added a new one yesterday. We'll be recording our Spotlight podcast this weekend. You get a chance to do that too. You get your own business Spotlight podcast. And right now is when all the listeners are coming in. It's football season. So take advantage of that. And then if you're a listener and you're an Auburn fan, start buying processes at buyauburn.com. Like, have it in your mind, I want to do business with an Auburn person first before I do business with anyone. And the only way you can guarantee that is by going to buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. All right, obviously there's a scrimmage today. We get to talk with Golish after the fact, so that should happen around lunchtime. So depending on when you listen to this, we could have already spoken to him. But we talked about the last scrimmage and all of the information around it and felt like it was, for the most part, really positive, particularly for the offense, in my opinion, based off of – and I'm also comparing that to what you've heard – what we've heard from scrimmages, even counting A-Day and spring for the last several years when it comes to offense. It's like, dadgummit, we're going to have to try to find something positive here when in reality it was the offense was just getting crushed every single practice. Well, there's a little bit of give and take and some explosive plays and some touchdowns from the first team offense. And then obviously there was the wins on defense as well, which is what you want to hear out of a scrimmage. I think the most concerning thing that people heard from not only Golish, but, you know, just the notes and intel from different reports is still struggling a little bit with pre-snap penalties on the offensive line. Everything kind of revolves around the offensive line. And it's not even all offensive line. There was some pre-snap penalties on wide receivers too, just lining up wrong. Sloppy things that you would probably expect in a first scrimmage that can't happen when you get to the game. One thing you can do really quickly in a football game is beat yourself. Beat yourself, give away free yards by just little things that you rep over and over again that if you're not 100% focused and locked in on, you can mess up. You know, from missing a snap count to missing an alignment to, you know, just simply getting caught up in the moment and starting too quickly. Those things can't happen. And I'm not saying anything that's not already being said to these guys and not already being preached to these guys. specifically, you know, especially from that scrimmage on Friday. So definitely I want to see, or I want to hear, at least I definitely want to hear the same. I want to hear a same tune as far as production goes, but I want to hear, you know, you had a cleaner scrimmage. Hey, we cleaned up a lot of things from the, on the offensive side, from the penalty aspects, like that we, you know, didn't have any procedural penalties, didn't have any pre-snap penalties, stuff like that. Like that's the kind of stuff I feel like this staff probably has lost sleep over since Friday and have spent every waking moment trying to figure out how to fix those things. So let's see the fruits this afternoon. I think that will be probably one of the first questions, should be one of the first questions asked. Hey, coach, last week was a little – or Friday was a little sloppy. Some pre-snap stuff going on that really bogged down some drives. Did you get that cleaned up? That kind of thing. Definitely want to hear some positive stuff there. And then the center snap stuff, like that's a little unnerving. I don't feel like it's going to be a big deal, but like it is somewhat of a recurring theme. Now, again, I don't think it's necessarily that. I don't think it's necessarily that it was like leading to turnovers, but everybody knows like snaps, especially out of a shot. I mean, everything we do is out of a shotgun, and a lot of the stuff's timing and tempo, and you're trying to go fast. And it could be that going fast, you know, lends itself to some potential inaccuracies sometimes. I don't know. All I know is when you're trying to win an SEC football game, those are like the little a drop snap or a wide snap on a play that, you know, is a, you know, a screen play out to the wide receivers. Like those have to be boom, boom. Like I got the ball, I'm getting the ball out. And, you know, a high snap, a low snap, one to the left, one to the right. Like those things, yeah, it may have gotten to the quarterback, but it may be in a spot where it just bogs down the whole play. So I think penalties, particularly on the offensive line, and then, you know, don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that note on the center quarterback exchange. Like let's get that cleaned up. Cole's played a lot of football. Byron's played a lot of football. They've played a ton of football together. Like let's get that piece figured out. That seems like something fairly easy. And I'm speaking from, you know, behind a microphone. Like that seems like something easy, or maybe easy is not the right word, but like low hanging fruit that like we can just like lock in and get that figured out. Again, I may make that just so trivial and easy that it's ridiculous, but that is something that is somewhat concerning, not only to me, but I think to a lot of folks. And then lastly, I want to mention it just because I think it is somewhat significant. Bryce Kane moving to cornerback, I'll just be completely honest, and I feel like we'll probably get a little bit more clarity today. Have no idea if this is a permanent thing. I have no idea the origin. Did it come from Bryce? Did it come from, you know, the coaching? Did it come from Cody Burns? Don't know the answers to those. I think we'll find out those. But I do know this. We have an emotional attachment. And when I say we, I'm talking about Auburn fans have an emotional attachment to Bryce because he was part of that Freeze 4. He was a part of those guys that were going to come in and change everything. And obviously, the staff that he was a part of completely let him down, along with us and all of those guys they brought in, just completely burned them. Maybe not intentionally, but completely wasted several years of their football career. But Bryce stuck with us. Bryce stuck with Auburn, and I think Auburn fans are mega loyal, especially today when kids can leave and go at the drop of a hat. And I think everybody, it doesn't matter if you do a show and you talk about Deshaun Spencer, what about Bryce Kane? You do a show and you talk about Christian Neptune, what about Bryce Kane? We're very, very invested. So I think this is one of those things where it's like, There's some emotions attached to this because we want the best players out there, but we're just really pulling for Bryce. And I think that's fine. I think that's fair, and I think that's fine. So this is going to be one of those ongoing things that we just have to watch and see. You would think a position change this late in a career would not be the most ideal. I don't think there's a ton of examples. Like year three, you're changing positions to a position. I don't know how much familiarity he has with playing corner. Like, sure, there's a line of thought that going from wide receiver to corner, there may be a little bit of advantage, makes it a little bit easier, but there's so much technique stuff, and it's just a completely different mindset. You feel like it would be a tall hill to climb for him to break that rotation on that side of the ball. So definitely going to check out that today and see what coach has to say about that. Guys, let me know what you think about the overrated versus overranked discussion. I would not call Auburn an overrated team. Potentially overranked at times because don't handle the spotlight very well. Auburn likes to play from behind, and maybe Golish can change that to where Auburn can play from the front. Guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Check out the premium YouTube content that we're pumping out. Sign up for that. You won't be disappointed even for 1 month to try it. Just had a new film review drop that I'm excited to watch, along with the Village Vice post show, Afternoon Delight every single day, and a lot of other stuff that we're adding. Coffee and cornbread every single day, like so much bang for your buck, man. If you just want Auburn content, you can't beat it. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.